can handle the truth.
Thanks for joining me here on Liberation Station Radio Show this Sunday morning, December 5th, 2021. We're going to start out with Community Complementary Currency. I've just restarted Clearwater Hours Community Currency for the Tampa Bay area. And the website is clearwaterhours.com. That's time-denominated community currency, like most are, clearwaterhours.com. And the website for the show is theliberationstation.com. That's theliberationstation.com. And before we get into that, this is from my last show, which you can hear every Tuesday on the TAN Talk Network. It's a broadcast terrestrial radio network with six Florida stations, AM and FM, out of Clearwater, Florida, which is a mile from me, and to transmitters like that as well at Zephyr Hills and in Dade City. So the website again is theliberationstation.com, and hopefully this will be an inspiration to everybody who's listening, who is frustrated, and I'm frustrated too, except this is the one thing, the Equitable Commerce Media, that really gives me hope and drives me to distraction from things I would like to do, like protesting and so much other activism. But now this is the priority. We need to stand from a position of strength rather than begging, rather than asking. We need to show that, well, if you don't do what you're supposed to do in government, then we're going to do it ourselves and probably do it better. Make you obsolete, make your job obsolete, just like most people's were considered unnecessary last year and this year as well, of course. But here in Florida, maybe I'm a little out of touch with what's going on. I'm looking at the extreme, though, in Australia, We'll get into the concentration camps there, the three escapees, and they were apprehended, the three teenage escapees. We'll talk about other COVID stuff, of course, and other health stuff, but I can't make any promises really how much I'll get into, because we'll also be taking your calls, so I shouldn't really promise too much, and I do have a whole list of things we'll get into, but your calls take precedent, and other than what I just mentioned on Australia, which we'll cover later on in the show. Again, the website is theliberationstation.com. I'm Chris Steiner, and if you could please, Sam, go ahead and play that clip that I sent you. It's just, it's the second hour, starting at the second hour of my last show. It's a 28-minute-long clip, and interrupt it for commercials as you see fit. I'm not sure if Sam is able to get that up. Chat room, but let's see here, Sam. My audio is going, I see. Okay, he's back now, no problem. All right, I was just asking if you could play that clip, clip number, the clip I sent you in Skype, please. That's the second hour. Let me see if I can. I don't know, I'm not in Skype right now because it would interrupt my Zoom. No, I send it in Skype, but it's in the other. It's in Skype too, I believe. All right. Well, let's do this. Just go to internetradiopros.com, and this will be so the audience can check out the archives as well. This is the second hour of my last show on community complementary currencies. So. Go to internetradiopros.com/liberationstation, and that's it. And then just click on hour two, play hour two for 27 minutes, 54 seconds. That's hour two of the November 30th, 2021 show. Yeah, and if I interrupted with commercials, as you see fit, I'm sorry I didn't cut it up for you. Great.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
'Cause there's a new sun rising from a lost horizon, and the heat that it brings melts away all the things that I made me stand still. Been a long time coming, so tired of running.
That was Anastasia Newkirk with Resurrection. And that's what we will now talk about, is resurrecting our economy. That is the first step. That's the focus of the show, is health, ecologically, economically, and personally. But economically, we need to have our standard of living improved, like community currencies. So I'm going to now restart, along with help like from Wayne Walton, who is a great monetary reform activist and started Mountain Hours himself and helped with starting several other community currencies. mountain hours in Colorado, in Breckenridge, Colorado, the Summit County, Colorado, starting around 2010 up until about 5 or 6 years ago, was very popular where he organized it. I'm not sure if anyone is organizing it at the moment since he moved back to Tampa, though I understand that it's the largest community currency in terms of business participants and enlisted businesses. You know, I'll get into enlisting businesses later, but I just want to start with a little introduction. Because everybody has time. Not everybody has enough money, though. And I'm going to have a little clip here from CBS. That would be clip... I'm on the wrong script. Pardon me, Bobby. I'll give you the clip number in just a moment. And so I'm looking at my last script for information, too. So that'd be clip number 5. This is from CBS. Clip number 5, create your own currency. From, it looks like the video is from the 1980s. And it's really surprising that they would report on this, that a family business started a community currency. At least, well, I think they give 2 stories. They give a deli as well. And they improve their standard of living and improve their business. And so that's with community currencies. That's the focus tonight. But I just want you to also be aware there are other more equitable commerce media like barter networks, cooperatives, time banks, swap shops, and mutual lending. We should be able to trust each other more than we trust the banks. And when it comes to when you see your standard of living improving, trust isn't really so hard to come by. Why would you want to cheat somebody if you're able to live like a king or a queen? And that's what we should be able to do as technology improves. So should our standard of living. But that's not happening because of all the economic rigging, which could take many, many shows to cover and still not do it justice. So instead of talking about how bad things are, let's talk about how good things can be, and let's see how good things can be. So this clip number 5 is the title of it, if you'd like to look for it on YouTube, is Create Your Own Currency Success Stories. And please go right ahead and play that clip.
The economy is in bad shape. Credit is tight. You need a loan, but the bank says no. What do you do? Well, you could just print your own money, because in tonight's Eye on America, Richard Schlesinger reports on tough times and a tender solution.
Some of the most beautiful towns in Massachusetts are tucked away in the Berkshire Mountains. In good times, tourist dollars also make these towns some of the most prosperous. But these are not good times.
This whole area really took a bad hit. And the recession in general, the first thing people will cut back on is summer home and leisure activities.
Dan Tuzinski's produce farm almost went under last year in the depths of the recession. He used to depend on local banks to give him a yearly loan to see him through the winter. Getting $5,000 from the bankers was never a problem until last year.
They didn't laugh in my face, but they said, you know, thanks, but no thanks. We don't need the business that badly. Cash was very hard to come by. So someone just wildly said, well, why not print your own? You know, you almost think of a Laurel and Hardy skit. They're good. You know,
it's not legal, Dan.
It's not legal, no. It's just not legal.
Can't do it.
But we found out it was.
Dan and his wife, Martha, printed their own farm notes and asked their customers to become investors.
It says, in farms we trust.
In farms we trust.
It's great. There's nothing about banks in here, you know?
No. We've replaced George Washington with a head of cabbage there.
Uh-huh.
Anyone could buy a farm note for $9 in the fall. Come spring, the note could buy $10 worth of produce. That's a 10% return. Dan thought that was a pretty good deal, and so did his customers. He sold $5,000 worth of farm notes to neighbors like Dale Colladen and saved the farm.
I really think we have a more dependable form of currency than the feds are issuing.
Your farm notes.
Our farm notes, because people know now that we're going to be here and that we will back those notes up. And it's not a question of...
But you back them up with potatoes and cabbage and strawberries.
You can eat those.
Can you eat what Washington is giving you? They're giving you rhetoric. I mean, can you eat that?
No one here thinks they can do completely without the banks, but more and more merchants here in the Berkshires are discovering their customers can pull them through hard times, even though the banks can't or won't. In nearby Monterey, the 211-year-old General Store is still in business because of the note's owner Maynard Forbes issued. It worked for the Corn Crib Farm and for Frank Tortoriello, owner of the deli, who financed a move to larger quarters partly through his deli dollars. Customers bought them for $9. 6 months later, they could buy $10 worth of sandwiches.
So the banks didn't think that you were worth taking the risk.
But the people did. And that's, you know, that's where I think the whole point lies as to why it works. Because the people had more faith in us than, you know, the banks do.
Ironically, one of the people who bought deli dollars was Eugene Hannon, vice president of a local bank, who had earlier turned Frank down for a loan.
He can repay my deli dollars because I'll take it out in corned beef sandwiches. All right. But he can't make loan payments with corned beef sandwiches.
Frank Tortoriello needs more money to expand his business again, so he's selling more deli dollars. This time he didn't even ask the bank for help. And with any luck at all, Dan Tuzinski's farm will get through the winter months this year with the money from another batch of farm notes, a financial solution as homegrown as his produce. Richard Schlesinger, CBS News, Great Barrington, Massachusetts.
And that was from CBS, called Create Your Own Currency, Success Stories. You can create your own currency. There is no law against it. And most of the community currencies, basically all you have to do is make sure you're not pretending to, or not representing a dollar, not representing it as a dollar. And they, almost all the community currencies are denominated in time, a half hour, full hour. And so, because they're denominated in time, and you can go to other communities that, because they are time denominated, you beforehand with the community currency, even if it's from your own community, and then they will accept it if they agree, because, you know, if you're a staff, there's some, not really, it's just a representation of value of work. It's based on labor. It's not based on a limited commodity like gold or silver. No. And so that needs to be, this point needs to be emphasized, is that because there are limited supply, but human productivity is virtually unlimited. It's limited only by time and technological innovation. You can become more productive with innovation and with more time. But if you have gold or silver, is that going to make you productive if you don't need it? So an economy should be based on what people need, on goods and services that most people need, not commodities that are subject to market manipulations. Now, the commodities are good. They're useful. They're good stores of value. They're very useful for technological uses, you know, gold, silver, platinum, especially silver, silver and gold, I mean, for technology. An economy's supply of currency should not be limited by a basket of commodities unless you want to restrict your productivity or our beautiful potential creativity be sapped by the bank's large amounts of commodities like precious metals can be dumped onto markets, allowing them to be bought back in higher quantities. As technology increases, so should our standards of living, but the opposite is happening, especially for those participating exclusively in usurious things like the Federal Reserve note. So why would you have a brand loyalty to the Federal Reserve note as it loses value? And, you know, instead we need to promote and participate in more equitable commerce media like community currencies, time banks, barter networks, cooperatives, swap shops, and community gardens where you can buy, sell seeds, cuttings, knowledge, and food. With these, we can defeat usury, ensure abundance, allow more time for civic involvement, encourage patient conversation, and trend towards a gift. By so fertilizing patient conversation, we can progress more than could be had by trying to educate on any other issue, showing that we can find more and more time to cultivate ourselves and our civilizations. Whipping the money changers with minimal physical conflict, we can cease feeding those beasts, proving we are not dependent, exodusing the rusting plantation, giving ourselves our own jubilee. So if you'd like to check out the website that we will continue to promote as after we get some businesses enlisted, but if you'd like to check out the website, it's built and it is ready to go. It has some good material on it, good explanation of the Clearwater Hours Community Currency. That's clearwaterhours.com. Community Currency for the Tampa Bay area. And Clearwater Hours, just so you know, that's hours, as in hours, minutes, days, seconds. It's a unit of, it's a denominated in time. So clearwaterhours.com is being restarted. We had 30, 2012, and we will reapproach and try to re-enlist and enlist new businesses coming up. If you'd like to check it out and have questions, is on there, my contact information. And I'm very accessible, so I can give you a call and explain as much to you as possible, send you more information. And we'll have a lot more to add to the site. So what we really need to do is encourage private property ownership. That is the definition of capitalism. We've been experiencing crony capitalism. And so, you know, people think that we need to eliminate capitalism, but we haven't been practicing it. And for those who think they ought to eliminate capitalism, why don't you start by giving up your personal property? Because that is the very definition of capitalism. Ability to have your own property. Whereas with socialism, businesses are socialized. They can be run by the government, and certain are run by the government. Really, communism is where all businesses are socialized. Socialism generally devolves into communism, and you can see what's going on with Europe, how countries like Austria, they're locking down again. They're all locking down. Germany, all over, France, Austria in the world, when it comes to the lockdowns. They prevented anybody who hasn't received the shots from flying in or out, from going in or out of the country. And now, how did they get the... We have to ask, how did they get the Omicron virus? And I also want folks to understand the basic mechanics in the Federal Reserve Bank's publication of the Chicago Federal Reserve Bank called Money, Modern Money Mechanics, that says that whenever you take out a loan, which, by the way, is through a Federal Reserve member bank, you know, you take out loans for your house, your car, student loan, through a Federal Reserve member bank, and it says in Modern Money Mechanics that you are giving them permission to issue the principal into circulation. So you get the principal, but they never issue the interest, which, of course, you have to repay. But if there isn't enough principal and if there isn't enough money in circulation, because principal plus interest has not been issued into circulation, only principal, it's impossible for everyone to pay back their debts. So that results in bankruptcies, in ruined credit, in the collateralized property, the homes, businesses lost to the banks, cars lost to the banks. All this property is lost to the Federal Reserve privately held corporation. 2006, Federal Reserve decided to stop publishing the M3 domestic money supply on their website. So there's no way to, that was really alarming the day that happened. I was calling up talk shows and my God, they don't want us to know what's happening, and they still don't. So you have to take accountability into your own hands and diversify with Equitable Commerce Media. That's what we're going to be forced to do. And those who are on the old paradigm, and of course, you know, you do have to use Federal Reserve notes. I'm not saying abandon the old paradigm. You have to use them for things like your bills, your mortgage, your rents, or your utilities. So you just make the money that you, the Federal Reserve notes that you need to pay that and pay all the necessities. But when the opportunity arises to have a better living through these more equitable commerce media, you'll jump at it. You'll jump at the chance to make 3 hours worth of value in less than an hour sometimes. And so, you know, we need to understand these basics of economics. I'm just without getting into the fraud too much, but just the basic fraud of the Modern Money Mechanics Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago publication that I mentioned, that is very underreported. That's really the underpinning of the fraud, of the usury. And let's see here. Let's get to clip number 7 next. This is clip 7 on a community currency project in Puerto Rico. So play that when it's ready, please.
Sí, señor.
¿Dónde salió?
Roberto Clemente.
What?
My name is Frances Negro Montaner. I am a professor at Columbia University in the Department of English and Comparative Literature. And the project that I've been developing is called Valor y Cambio, which is supported by the Center for the Study of Social Difference. And it emerged from a working group called Unpayable Debt that looked at the rise of debt regimes all over the world. But we put a particular emphasis on Puerto Rico for our research. And the name of our group comes directly from a speech that the governor of Puerto Rico gave when he announced to the island that the government had accumulated such an enormous amount of debt that he called it unpayable. If you combine all debt that the government has, it tops $120 billion. The project, I would describe it as a art, storytelling, and just economy project to launch an island-wide conversation about what do we value as a society. Introducing a tool, a community currency, that could be used for communities that are marginalized or have little access to the formal economy to organize their resources and talents inside their communities through exchange of a community currency. We also wanted the currency to tell stories of the past that connected to the present. So we picked figures and places that allowed us to talk of burning issues now, like public education, public health, or access to health. We wanted to talk about racial and gender equity. I think the most popular bill was 21, Roberto Clemente, who was a baseball player and also was known for his humanitarian work. So the way it worked was we got an ATM, we added a computer to the ATM so it could collect the stories, and in exchange of the stories, we would give the bills through a dispenser, a money dispenser. We got a number of small businesses, about 40 small businesses, to accept these bills. So the idea was that we would demonstrate.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk,
real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number in any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. EazeOff.com. And hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC. Somersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
Is this the light at the end of the tunnel? Is this the end of all of my trouble? Is this the light at the end of the tunnel, yeah? Or just the light of another oncoming train?
And welcome back to Liberation Station Radio Show. We'll get back into that last 7 minutes of the clip that we were playing. This is December 5th, 2021 show. I'm your host, Chris Steiner. The website is theliberationstation.com. And we'll continue on talking about community complementary currencies after this clip, if you would like, but I do plan to get into the happenings in totalitarian Australia, the other part of the common, one-fifth of the Commonwealth. So let's get back into that clip, please, Sam, for the next 7 minutes on community complementary currencies.
Currency that could be used for communities that are marginalized or have little access to the formal economy to organize their resources and talents inside their communities through exchange of a community currency. We also wanted the currency to tell stories of the past that connected to the present. So we picked figures and places that allowed us to talk of burning issues now, like public education, public health, or access to health. We wanted to talk about racial and gender equity. I think the most popular bill was 21, Roberto Clemente, who was a baseball player and also was known for his humanitarian work. So the way it worked was we got an ATM, we added a computer to the ATM so it could collect the stories, and in exchange of the stories, we would give the bills through a dispenser, a money dispenser. We got a number of small businesses, about 40 small businesses, to accept these bills. So the idea was that we would demonstrate, and through a participatory process, what could an exchange economy, not based on profit or debt or accumulation, look like and feel like. We had a very interdisciplinary group, all of us trying to understand, how do we get to this point? And I think also, how can research, art, journalism, these various areas that we were working on, can have an impact in addressing the situation? And our project is not about how Puerto Rico is going to pay. What we see is the crisis is offering an opportunity for people to rethink politics, to rethink what the economy should be about.
Me gustó mucho el proyecto porque me hizo sentir la opinión de nosotros los jóvenes que vale, nuestra opinión vale.
All right, well, that was Valor y Cambio, a community currency project in Puerto Rico. So if they can do it with $120 billion of odious debt that is unpayable and born into debt, they say, which means we're born into slavery. No. Yeah. That's really what happened, backing up the history of the... So check out documentaries like The Secret of Oz. It covers the problems with gold-backed currency. Pastor Sheldon Emery's The Impossibility of Gold-Backed Currency. And it's also amazing that folks don't know that the debt slavery is what we have now, and it was traded deliberately for chattel slavery, human slavery. Look up the Hazard Circular that shows that the Bank of England was writing in the Hazard Circular. They were circulating that, well, this slavery thing isn't working out too well. It's not very popular, so let's switch over to debt slavery. And that's exactly 1833, FDR confiscated the gold. People turned in their gold. They thought, well, it has a government stamp. It's a government currency. I better turn it in and get these worthless pieces of paper. Of course, I shouldn't say worthless. Two people agree on it. That's all. That's this worthless paper. Give it to me, then I'll take it. So I wanted to make sure I'm not voluntarily giving up my wealth so easily. That's all we got on community currencies here at the moment. We'll continue to cover it and continue to promote the businesses who participate in community currencies and equitable commerce media locally, businesses to or help them diversify, I should say, how they can do their business with the different commerce media. And maybe transition from what they're using into hope. Because I feel they're the best. They have, they're tangible. They can be checked for counterfeiting with serial numbers. They're issued in a circulation to the business. At least this is the form that I prefer to issue from the ground up, by giving them to the businesses a certain amount. And we haven't decided yet, a certain amount every month or two, and then they take that, they sign them, they endorse them just as you would a check, and issue them into circulation when they go to spend them. And so if there's ever any suspicion of counterfeit, then that serial number can be matched to see, well, does it match the denomination, and does it match the person, the business person, to whom it was issued. And then if that matches and there's still some suspicion, then we can always call in a master graphoanalyst or graphologist who can detect who can really, have their testimony, their expert testimony accepted in court as to a forgery. And my mom was a master grapho analyst. It's amazing how much you can tell by someone's handwriting. I won't go into that right now, but I will in a moment. But the fact that you can detect a forgery, and also if you have a handwriting sample of the suspected forger, then they can say, well, this is the person's handwriting, and they can detect that this is that they are the one who committed the forgery. And then we can follow up with a Florida statute that prohibits the value, like coupons. Those are forms of community currencies too. Frequent flyer miles, preferred customer cards, all these things are complementary currency because they are issued, they're things of value, they're issued into circulation. So there's a Florida statute on that, and if there's any criminal activity, that's already covered. And there are also other anti-counterfeiting measures. There's works of art, and the paper is high quality. The bills are already printed with serial numbers. The accounting is done without a computer as the primary accounting. It's backed up on computer, but it's stored in multiple places, and the accounting is open to those who would like to participate, who might be interested. All right. Okay, we're back now. Well, that was me talking rather slowly because that was my broadcast show last Tuesday on the November 30th edition of my show. That's the terrestrial show. Yeah, I try to speak a little more slowly, deliberately for the audience in order to, in general, just to get them acclimated to these principles. And it's such a, this is, as I say, the most vital issue that we could be working on right now rather than going out and demonstrating or retreating back into our bunker. We need to at least find some balance, find some ground between, common ground between preparation in our community and reaching into our community and having the ability to escape if we ever need to. So I am for civilization, although I do have my escape route. So, I do have hope in civilization, I should say, only because I think that if we improve the economics, then we can improve everything else. I believe that people have the key, and we have so much technology that is suppressed. And, you know, a lot of that's on my links page over at theliberationstation.com. Things like the section at the bottom of that page, novel technologies, green, clean, free energy, novel technologies. And also, by the way, I just noticed the chat room I was going into, I thought I had entered and entered my chat to thank Mayor Bailey about 10 minutes ago, but then it prompted me to log in after I hit enter. I didn't notice that. So thanks, Mayor Bailey. I just got in the chat room, and the website chat room is on the Listen Archives page. That's at theliberationstation.com. The Listen Archives page has the chat room embedded that Mer Bailey set up, and she is taking notes of what I'm saying and posting some of the links. So that's great. And then I'll be paying attention now there too. And I'll be paying attention to that chat room and the Facebook Live chat room if you want to join. At facebook.com/wearechange.tampa. That's if you do a search for it, put We Are Change as one word and then Tampa as a second word, or just facebook.com/wearechange.tampa. And let's see. Oh, Mike in Kentucky, what's on your mind?
I've been trying to promote an idea around our area, which I think if somebody was to do good counterfeits, it wouldn't hurt the effort because, you know, you could put like watermarks and maybe if on the larger denominations, you could put what I've seen done on others, community scripts is like a piece of thermal ink on there that you could hold between your thumb and your index finger, and it would fade, you know.
Oh, and you would I haven't heard of that kind of watermark.
Well, it's not a watermark. It's a special kind of ink But I talked to a printer about it, and he was like, yeah, there's all kinds of security features we could put on this. And I said, and if somebody did really, really good counterfeits, it would simply save you the cost of printing them. But you could always clear
it. Well, that might, that'll discourage people from, once they think that there's a counterfeit,
You would break those out with a clearinghouse. Whenever somebody presented one they thought was a counterfeit, you'd simply swap it out for a real one, and then try to track down where they're coming from, if it was even important. But what I'm talking about is more of a promotional script, where you would have members back each denomination, and literally on the back you would have the backers on the back. You'd have different series with features of touristy type stuff around the area.
Right.
But my idea is what do you crave? It's called Cave Run Area Vouchers Exchange. And it would not, eventually you could back this with some kind of commodity. But, initially, just like, Ithaca Hours said, in Ithaca we trust on theirs. They were all, they were all about building a cooperation of local businesses that would trade amongst themselves to promote local.
That's by the way, so the audience knows, that's the latest modern pioneer. Paul Glover started in 1991, and it went over to control of a board, and it shrunk in size in terms of the number of participating businesses for a while, or has been for a while. So I'm not sure which way to go with organization.
Counterfeited Ithaca Hours.
Pardon me? You don't know of anyone who has?
I never heard of it.
Exactly.
Fact, the interview that I heard probably a decade ago with one of the people that was working with Ithaca, New York, Ithaca Hours, was that the Secret Service had been to town to deal with counterfeit Federal Reserve notes, but nobody had ever counterfeited Ithaca Hours that they know of.
Right, I don't know of any suspected cases of any community currency being counterfeited.
If it's done as a promotional coupon script, the more coupons you have, you're going to promote the businesses that are on the back. And it's a negotiation, that's what it is. It's negotiable. You could say that they're an hour of labor, but if you go to the dentist, you're not going to, a bricklayer or somebody that mows lawns is not going to get their tooth fixed for 1 hour of labor. Maybe you can mow a yard in an
hour. That has to be negotiated first. That's one advantage over time banks, even though I advise, each one of these Equitable Commerce Media has their own advantages, disadvantages, but banks, they don't allow you to do anything but an hour's work for an hour's credit. So, with community currencies, it's however you choose to negotiate, and you negotiate how much they'll accept in the community currency, and then maybe a Federal Reserve note or maybe another form or combination of currencies, of course, before you make the purchase, just like you would anyhow.
The example of the dentist, he's got a receptionist, he's got a record keeper, he's got an assistant, and then himself. There's 4 hours of labor for your 1 hour of labor. So you can't go in there with, expecting him to work for an hour on your teeth, where you go mow the yard for somebody for an hour, and you got an hour of labor, an Ithaca hour. So, that right there tells you it can't exactly exchange hour for hour. Not to mention he's probably in debt for his education and whatever else, with a promotional script like I'm talking about, and I've seen, you go back to the colonies, what did they have? They had Ben Franklin and others right on it said to counterfeit his death, but the colonial script was just printed enough to facilitate the exchange of in the community or in the business, and they didn't have to worry about people counterfeiting back then because not a lot of people could print stuff with all the different little features that they had on there. I don't believe. They weren't very complicated, though. Have you seen pictures of colonial script like Benjamin Franklin had?
Yeah, I have. I have some copies of them. Well, actually, behind me, I don't know where I put my list of my poster of dollar bills. I'll try to dig it out for the next commercial to show it on the webcam, by the way. But, you know, the history of the U.S. money. When England started to try to counterfeit us, our script, that was quite upsetting, part of our revolution. But, you know, now that we have these technologies and anti-counterfeiting technologies, that I think that if someone were to try to counterfeit it and it would be discovered, that would draw attention to it and just cause us to harden, draw attention to the importance of, well, why would somebody be trying to hurt a community by counterfeiting the money? And, you're saying counterfeits needed to be recalled, or if suddenly there was too much currency in circulation, there's also the act of demurrage that we could talk about sometime. That's recalling money. That's what the Fed ought to be doing right now, recalling currency and credit through demurrage.
Well, to avoid a deflationary problem or the value. Well, inflation and deflationary cycles can both be bad, but what I'm talking about, you would actually have series of these, and they could kind of become collectible.
People want to, send me a dollar for the community currency, and they often do that with others, too.
Yeah, well, that you would have, every so often, you'd have a series that featured something like, we have a rich history around our area with the War of 1812, which was in a large part about banking. You know, they jerked the banking charter. Rothschild said, bring those impudent Americans back under colony status, and he got a bunch of, helped to whip up the furor to start to get the war going and try to burn us out. We have the pig iron furnaces in our area that made, cannonball and rifle barrels and all the different bullets. I don't know what all they made, for instance, on the front, you'd have a picture of the Clear Creek furnace. And on the back, you'd have all the businesses in that area with a simple line map, based on the major highways. And the spot on the map with their name, and they would literally be the backers of that particular currency. Well, after a while, you'd maybe keep the same backers, but you'd change what's featured on the front to a different furnace, the Slate Creek furnace, or maybe to the ancient church in a town called Owensville. And so you go through a series of those, and ever so often as they wear out, you have to replace them. That's what you need a clearinghouse for, is to bring in the old ones and give somebody a new one, because one is getting worn, or maybe if you can authenticate it as not counterfeit, you'd have to work some kind of a deal with them. And if they brought in one that was counterfeit, they'd have to give you the information for where it came from, where they got it, and that kind of stuff, and then you would give them basically something for the information. Maybe not the exact same denomination, but it needs to be a function of a clearinghouse. It's that you would have to have, and I think you'd want more than one. I think you'd be good to have more than one printer and more than one clearinghouse, but the serial number idea, I think you can overcomplicate it, You can really overcomplicate it. If you've got, you're using some kind of cotton rag paper that has a watermark built into it that you can commercially buy, then it would be a lot easier for somebody to figure out where you're getting that paper and counterfeit it. But if you add a few other features, plus you're using an artist, local artists, to make these designs. Now, I looked on your old webpage for that. What'd you call it? Clearwater
Hours. Clearwater HOURS.com.
Yeah. The thing about hours, though, is you're trying to make it to an hour of labor, right?
Well, yeah, that's really how all almost all of them I've noticed are denominated in time. So don't want to try to get run afoul of like Von Nothaus did, you know, trying to say it's a dollar, and you know, even though he was in the right, you know, they're not gonna smile on you, you know, saying, oh, you're using a dollar, even if it's by the original, you know, coinage act of 1792. Or I noticed that the title 12, section 152 of the U.S. code was repealed shortly after I used it in court. Gosh, it was probably around 15 years ago. I noticed 10 to 15 years ago that says that it used to say that the terms, quote, lawful money, end quote, and, quote, lawful money of the United States, end quote, shall be construed to mean gold and silver coin of the United States. And but, you know, still the Coinage Act of 1792 still covers it. It's I just think that you know, they want to make us forget about our heritage of having dollar based.
The courts claim that lawful money was never defined, and I don't think they can get around that either, because there used to be Federal Reserve notes and I think United States notes that both had a promise to pay on the note. It actually satisfied the definition of a note, because it said this note is legal tender and can be exchanged for lawful money. So even though they claimed that they never defined lawful money, it's on the dang note. Whatever you could get for that as lawful money would have defined it, and that would be at the time the note was issued, whatever the current coin or lawful money would have been. You see, they've tried to define current coin as pennies, dimes, nickels, and quarters. That's considered current coin. So by default, you would have 50-cent pieces and above would be lawful money. There's no way to get around that, even though I don't know where I read that, but the claim was they were trying to get out of the idea that lawful money had never been defined. I don't know. That's probably post 1933.
Well, this, like I said, this was Title 12 of the U.S. Code, Section 152. And check out, by the way, my blog called Lawful Money Blog. Go to the blogs page, and then you'll see the Lawful Money Blog there. And I cover an interesting. I know we're running out of time here. I'd like to see what you think about it, Mike. I'll get into that in the next hour if you got a moment. It's a court victory that I had back in 1996, where the clerk of the court refused to take my payment of legal tender as a plan that was crazy enough to work, and it did, where by not accepting my tender payment, she discharged my obligation according to the U.S. Code, or the Uniform Commercial Code. So those were the only two laws I cited, was the 12 U.S.C. 152 and UCC, which we'll get into here. Florida Statute 673.6031 is where that's encoded. Federal Law UCC 3-603. We'll be back here on Liberation Station Radio Show with Mike in Kentucky. I'm Chris Steiner, website theliberationstation.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit Republic Broadcasting.